Over the next few days, NPR will examine changes in immigration policy since the September 11th attacks. We'll be looking at security along the nation's borders, at who enforces immigration laws, and at how detainees are treated. We'll also consider whether the terrorist attacks have changed the way Americans and Europeans feel about foreigners. We begin with a report on the nation's borders. With the new perception of vulnerability, the government has increased security in the North and the South, determined to make the borders less porous. It has led some to fear the country is turning into Fortress America. NPR's John Burnett reports from southern Arizona along the Mexican border.
Everybody gets checked, no exceptions. Those are the new rules for all immigration agents who are operating under what's called Threat Level 1.
What are you bringing from Mexico, ma'am?
No.
Thank you. What's your citizenship, sir?
U.S.
What are you bringing back today?
This is the port of entry in Douglas, Arizona, a drowsy former mining town just across the line from Agua Prieta, Mexico. The crossers are mainly shoppers, cross-border commuters, and tourists. Like every port director on the U.S. land borders, Charlie Stemple has twin duties: keep the traffic moving and keep out malefactors.
What we're afraid of is allowing a terrorist to get through us somehow. That's what we're looking at. One thing I asked the inspectors is to do their job 10 times better than they'd ever done it before.
Inspectors for the Immigration and Naturalization Service must question every pedestrian who enters the United States and ask for a photo ID. Before September 11th, they only checked 4% of walkthroughs. Meanwhile, U.S. Customs is searching every vehicle that enters, which means agents are discovering more illegal drugs hidden inside spare tires, gas tanks, and false bottoms.
What is your citizenship, ma'am? Where do you live? The vehicle belongs to you, ma'am? I have one from the trunk, please.
None of the 19 skyjackers is believed to have crossed into the United States from Mexico or Canada. In two earlier cases where suspected terrorists did enter the U.S. across a land border, they chose Canada's, not Mexico's. But Charlie Stemple says southern port inspectors still have to be on their guard for immigrants from all over.
We've caught people from Lebanon. We caught a sergeant from Afghanistan claiming political asylum last year at Douglas. We've had Israelis, we've had Bulgarians, we've had Russians, Jamaicans, Haitians, Cubans. Pick a country.
Under the current national security alert, he says even locals from Agua Prieta, who constitute the vast majority of crossers, come under suspicion.
This is the border. You pay somebody to bring whatever you want through, and nationality, color, and race has nothing to do with it. I could be a Russian citizen that has plutonium that I want to smuggle through. Does that mean I'm going to get a Russian? No, I'll get whoever I can to smuggle it through. It's the border. It's a commodity.
The post-9/11 border crackdown coincides with an INS strategy that began 8 years ago to deter illegal crossers in the lonesome stretches of desert and scrubland between the ports of entry. The agency erected fences, lights, and infrared cameras. It bought new aircraft, boats, and SUVs, and doubled the number of Border Patrol agents to 9,000. Supporters say the crackdown has lowered crime in U.S. border cities. Critics complain the border has been militarized and illegal immigrants are forced to trek through remote desert where scores have died of exposure. But the Border Patrol believes its strategy is finally paying off. From Brownsville to San Diego, the agency reports apprehensions of undocumented immigrants have dropped in half compared to last year. Here in Douglas, formerly the busiest illegal crossing spot in the nation, arrests are down 60%.
You got anything?
Just a single walking this way.
Okay. These guys aren't anything? Did she say in this area?
They're not finding it. She said...
Border Patrol agent Fred Esquivel drives along a 12-foot fence illuminated by stadium lights. He passes a parked agent every few minutes.
Back in the... when we were catching the large volumes, the 1,000 a day or that type of thing, you could catch a group of 20, take them to the processing area, drop them off, go back out, come back half an hour later with another 20 or 30. You know, it wasn't unusual to catch 300 or 400 people per shift.
The number of nightly arrests has been dropping even further since the terrorist attacks. People just aren't crossing as much as they used to. A year and a half ago, the streets of Agua Prieta were jammed with immigrants from the Mexican interior waiting to travel north. Today, they're nearly deserted, save for a lone tamale vendor. Over at the bus station, passengers are outnumbered by smugglers prowling fruitlessly for business. January is traditionally a busy month for polleros, literally chicken smugglers. Mexicans who spent the holidays at home look for a guide to help them jump the border to return to their jobs in the U.S. But this year, the big silver buses are wheeling into the terminal nearly empty. A group of shifty-eyed polleros stands across the street from the station. One says business is so bad, he had to slash his fee to Phoenix from $1,200 to
$600. First, people were scared to come because so many immigrants were dying in the desert. And now, because of the Twin Towers, people are afraid they'll get hit by an airplane if they cross to the U.S. They're afraid of anthrax and the war. These people are ignorant country people. They watch TV and the images of war, and they get scared.
Obviously, some are undeterred. They hire a pollero or go solo, hoping this will be their lucky night in the inhospitable Sonoran desert. They wear two sets of pants and two coats as insulation against the chill desert night and as protection against the bloodletting desert plants. And if they're caught, they shrug and smile and wait for deportation, like these three men from Durango, Mexico. They were hoofing it north a mile west of Douglas when they were spotted on an infrared camera.
Por el barbón ese, ¿cómo se llama?
Sí, porque por él hay más desconfianza en la frontera.
Because of this bearded guy, what's his name? Bin Laden. It's harder now, says one immigrant in a red Coca-Cola sweatshirt. There are more reinforcements now, he says, because America is afraid of terrorists coming. With a green-suited agent standing over him, he adds defiantly, but we won't stop trying to cross until we get paid better in Mexico. We'll keep trying 100, 200 more times, regardless what happens to us. Because of determination like this, the INS continues to build up its staffing along the southwest boundary. Some border natives, like Douglas Mayor Ray Borain, worry that the intensified INS dragnet will alter the delicate relationships between twin cities along the southern divide.
After 9/11, this community suddenly became a border town. We were actually separated by a border that really had never existed here before. We knew that it was nothing to get over there, and we knew that the wait, if we were coming back, it would be 10 minutes at best. And greeting those individuals at the border was like waving at the neighbor. But suddenly there was all this intensive inspection. There were these long waits in line, and people started to sense that, you know, I live over here and they live over there, and the wall really did go up.
Once the wall goes up, he notes, it's very difficult to take it down. John Burnett, NPR News, Douglas, Arizona.